WPGW's broadcast of the Fort Recovery Ministerial Association's Community Good Friday service is coming up, sponsored by Kalp Pharmacy and Cooper Farms.
Here this afternoon to... It's hard for me to know hardly how to put it. It's Good Friday, and it's a wonderful time to reflect on what Christ did for us. But yeah, it's such a joyful thing too. You know, we see on the other side of the cross, and so it's hard to just for me to be unjoyful or sad or somber. You know, it's a time to me still to just be joyful, and we can do both. We can reflect and still be joyful. Amen. So I'd like to thank the radio station WPGW for sponsoring this and playing this live on the radio station. It's sponsored by Kalp Pharmacy and Cooper Farms, so we recognize them and thank them for doing that. Welcome. Let's pray. Why don't you stand with us while we do? There's something we do here often, and I don't know if it make you uncomfortable or not, but let's just try it. Let's hold our hands out like this, and while we do, you can't hold on to stuff when they're open, you know? So we're just letting go of stuff. I know some of us have been at work, some of us have things to do this afternoon, but right now, let's just let go of stuff. And then let's turn our hands over and close our eyes and just come to our Father. Father, we just come to you right now, and we just pause and silence our soul and rest in you. And we ask you, Lord, to reveal yourself to each one of us in a new, fresh way. As we reflect on what Jesus did for us, the price that he paid, the acceptance that he gave for us. Lord, we thank you for dying on the cross for us. Show us new things today, I pray, and lead us into your presence with singing and with joy. Bless us, people, and the ones on the radio, Lord. Touch our hearts, we pray, in Jesus' name, amen. This time, Sharon's going to come and lead us in a song. It'll be up there on the screen. It's page 225, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross.
If you want to remain standing, that's great. When I surveyed the wondrous cross, I looked up the word survey. You know, what does that really mean? And it means, you know, to think about, to examine. So today, as we enter into worship, let's just examine what the cross really means for us today. So. When I survey the see him, his head, his may be seated.
Y'all sing great. You really do. Oh my goodness. Spirit's moving in the house today, isn't it? It's a wonderful thing to gather and just to talk about Jesus for a while together. I am so glad for the cross of Jesus Christ. Amen. It gives shape to our lives as Christians. It gives purpose to our lives throughout this life and into eternity. And it's a funny thing, but for the longest time, well, I thought it was a long time at the time. Now I realize it was only for about 9 or 10 years, only for about 9 or 10 years, from the time that I was aware enough to think about anything having to do with church other than who's going to be passing out the lemon drops at the end of service this week. That was a tradition at our church. But from the time that I was able to realize what they were talking about, I thought to myself, how good do I need to be to get to this heaven place? I'm so glad that I found out that there's no such thing as people that are good enough to get to heaven. That the cross of Christ is necessary, but it's a funny thing. As long as I'm not looking for a Savior, I'll never see one. As long as I'm looking to be good enough on my own, as long as I'm not willing to take an honest look at who I am and what I am, I won't see myself as in need of a Savior. And when I do finally take an honest look at who I am and at what I am, and I take a pile of my stuff, that's my righteousness, and I compare it to the stuff that's God's righteousness through Jesus Christ, my righteousness looks like nothing but filthy rags and the kind of stuff that you would scour off the bottom of a pot, to translate Paul literally from that passage. And Jesus takes it anyway. And he takes everything else of myself and he lets me put it on his cross. And Paul talks about that in the second chapter of Galatians in the 20th verse, in one of the verses that is in my heart all the time. And it just says this: I believe in learning the scriptures and not just saying them. So I'm going to learn you some scripture today. Is that all right? This is a song by my friend Tom Shoemaker. I've been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Oh, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. For the life I live in the body, I live with Christ. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Oh, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. For the life I live, I live in the body.
Pastor Tom is a tough act to follow. I'm Pastor Robin Owen from Trinity Lutheran here in Fort Recovery and three other congregations, but great to be here with you today. My passage of scripture is from Romans, the third chapter. And I chose this one because in this past year, those of us who are in the Lutheran Christian tradition have been celebrating the beginning of the Reformation movement. And 500 years ago in a few months, Luther tacked on the door of the church in Wittenberg a few questions for discussion that led to lots of discussion that brought us to this time 500 years later. Paul writes in Romans that, you know those Gentiles, let me paraphrase, you know those Gentiles, they're just terrible. They will do anything, they worship anybody, they sleep around with whoever. But we Jews, we're not any better because we know what God's law is and we can't keep it. So here we are, outsiders and insiders, them and us, and we're all in the same boat. And then he writes this, and this is from the Message translation because I think it's good once in a while to freshen up the language. But in our time, something new has been added. What Moses and the prophets witnessed to all those years has happened. The God-setting things right thing that we read about has become Jesus setting the right thing for us. And not only for us, but for everyone who believes in him. For there is no difference between us and them when we get to this. Since we've compiled this long and sorry record as sinners, both us and them, and proved that we are unable and utterly incapable of living the glorious life God wills for us, God did it for us. Out of sheer generosity, he put us in right standing with himself, a pure gift. He got us out of the mess we're in and restored us to where he always wanted us to be. And he did that by the means of Jesus Christ. God sacrificed Jesus on the altar of the world to clear that world of sin. Having faith in him sets us in the clear. God decided on this course of action in full view of the public to set the world in the clear with himself, through the sacrifice of Jesus, finally taking care of the sins he had so patiently endured. This is not only clear, but it's now. This is current history. God sets things right. He also makes it possible for us to live in his righteousness. The reason that that text is one of the go-to texts for me in thinking about what Jesus was doing on the cross is because this was also the text that Martin Luther had his Black Tower experience, or we would say that he had his light bulb experience, except 500 years ago there weren't light bulbs. Luther, like so many of us, felt that it didn't matter how hard he tried, there was no way to be in a good relationship with God. And God knows he tried. I mean, he became a monk in a really harsh order, and he spent days and nights confessing and condemning himself because he felt that there was no way that God would not condemn him because he knew how sinful he was. And so, as a university professor, he was invited to teach on Romans. And it was as he was preparing his lesson on Romans chapter 3 that he had that light bulb experience. Wait a minute. It isn't about me and what I do, because, yeah, Paul's right. None of us get it right. It's about what God does, bringing us forgiveness, setting us in a right relationship, because it is Jesus Christ who has gotten us that relationship. And so we get to live in freedom. We get to have a clear conscience. And we get to do the things that God is calling us to do. To be people who are loving, people who are kind, people who are concerned for the needy and all those around us. What an amazing privilege it is to be set free from that focus on ourselves and instead to focus on what Jesus is leading us to do in the world around us. Amen.
I'm Dave Nicholson, the minister out at First Church of Christ. And I'll be reading from Psalm 22. And I would encourage you, I'm just going to be reading the first half. Your Bible may have From Suffering to Praise as the title for this as well. But the first part is about today. The last part is about Sunday morning. So I will not be reading that. I'll be reading from verse 1 through 21. And I'm reading from just got a new copy of it as a Christian Standard Bible. So I got a copy of that. My God, why have you abandoned me? Why are you so far from my deliverance and from my words of groaning? My God, I cry by day, but you do not answer. By night, yet I have no rest, but you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in you. They trusted you and to rescue them. They cried to you and were set free. They trusted in you and were not disgraced. But I am a worm and not a man, scorned by mankind and despised by people. Everyone who sees me mocks me, and they sneer and shake their heads. He relies on the Lord. Let him save him. Let the Lord rescue him, since he takes pleasure in him. It was you who brought me out of the womb, making me secure at my mother's breast. I was given over to you at birth. You have been my God from my mother's womb. Don't be far from me, because distress is near, and there's no one to help. Many bulls surround me, strong ones of Bashan encircle me. They open their mouths against me, lions mauling and roaring. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are disjointed. My heart is like wax, melting within me. My strength is dried up like baked clay. My tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. You put me into the dust of the earth, for dogs have surrounded me. A gang of evildoers has closed in on me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I can count all the bones. People look and stare at me. They divided my garments among themselves, and they cast lots for my clothing. But you, Lord, don't be far away. My strength come quickly to help me. Rescue my life from the sword, my own life from the power of these dogs. Save me from the lion's mouth, from the horns of the wild oxen. The first line of that stand is, my God, why have you forsaken me, is more commonly known. Jesus cried that out upon the cross. The Psalms, of course, are the book, they're the hymn book in the Jewish faith. When Jesus did that, I think he was given one last encouragement to his disciples. It's no different than if someone said to you, "Onward, Christian," and you could finish that first stanza. Jesus cried those words out because they had sung this song over and over in synagogue, hoping they would catch what was going on, see the dogs and the wild bulls crying out to him, and know the last part is the victory of that song.
I don't know, Dennis Kelly from the Nazarene Church here in Fort Recovery. I don't know about Robin and Dave, but boy, I'm sure glad we didn't have to start singing this. I would bet you, well, I was going to say I'd be in trouble, but you would be, so. Isaiah chapter 53. It says, "Who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot, and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering. Like one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he took our infirmities and carried our sorrows. Yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us have turned to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter. And as a sheep before his shears is silent. So he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And who can speak of his descendants? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was stricken. He was assigned a grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, though he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life a guilt offering, he will see his offspring and prolong his days. And the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. And the suffering of his soul, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many. And he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong, because he poured out his life unto death and was numbered with the transgressors. For he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors.
Let's all stand again and turn to 253. There is a fountain filled with blood. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains, lose all their guilty stains. And sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. The dying thief rejoiced to see that shall never lose it. Seated.
Don't you love to sing to the Lord? Thanks, everyone, for sharing your scriptures, the word of the Lord. My name's Steve Long. I'm pastor here at Christ Chapel, and it's my privilege today to share the word of God. And I'll be reading from Hebrews chapter 10, verse 11, and so much of what you all shared goes along with my thoughts of the, it's Christ who lives in us. It's the righteousness of God that makes us accepted to our Father in heaven. And so much of what was shared is right along the thoughts that the Holy Spirit's laid on my heart. So let's read from Hebrews chapter 10. I'm going to read from verse 11 through 25. It says, and every priest stands ministering daily. It's talking about the Old Testament priests. Ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But this man, Jesus, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. From that time waiting till his enemies are made his footstool. For by one offering he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. Can you say hallelujah? He's perfected us forever. That doesn't mean the work's done. He's sanctifying. He's continually setting us apart into his image. But the Holy Spirit also witnesses to us, for after he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds I will write them. Then he adds, their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. What a Savior. Now where there is remission of these, there is no longer an offering for sin. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is, his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Well, it's my desire today that we all would come to a fresh revelation, a greater faith in realizing what Christ has accomplished for us on the cross. There's four things I want to briefly bring out, and I can't go into a lot of detail because of time, but four blessings or four truths that I would like us to focus on briefly today, and they're from verse 19 through 21. And the first one is the holiest is opened up. The second one is we have boldness to enter in through the blood. The third one is there's a new and living way. And the fourth one is we have a great high priest. Several weeks ago, I was doing something just normal, just about my daily work. I was actually in the semi, and I was doing something, and the Lord asked me a question: what value do you put on my blood? How much do you value my blood? It was something like that. And it got me, this was several weeks ago, and it just got me to thinking, how much value do I place in the blood of Jesus? You know, our Father puts enormous, you can't count the value of our Father's that he puts in the blood of Christ. How much do I value the blood? What does it make available to me? What has his sacrifice on the cross accomplished for me? So that got me on a pathway and a journey, and I just began to study and meditate on it myself. And the first thing I came up with was this: the holiest is opened up. And you know, I don't know that I can really comprehend the enormity of what that means, but I like to meditate on it and think about it. I think so many times we as Christians, we gather in the outer court of, I'm talking about the tabernacle. We gather in the outer court where the sacrifice is, where they made the sacrifices. And we camp around the sacrifice of Christ and we rejoice in that. And we should. We should meditate and understand and love the sacrifice of Christ. I am crucified with Christ. Paul said, I determined to know nothing save Jesus Christ and him crucified. But we should go further than that. You know, there's something more than just having our sins forgiven. There's something more that God wants to give us than just, and not just, you know what I'm saying. Oh, it's wonderful to have your sins forgiven. And then sometimes you go a little farther into the place of ministry where we know that Jesus did something for us, and so we want to do something for somebody else, and we maybe go visit people, or we share Christ with someone, or we do this, or we're a pastor, or we're an evangelist, or we go to the mission field. And so we go into this holy place where we're doing ministry to the Lord. But you know, there's something even more than that. And it's called the holiest of all, the holy of holies, the holiest place there is. And that's the place where in the Old Testament, there's a lot that I don't know here and don't understand, but I do know this. It's a place where in the Old Testament, the priest went once a year and offered sacrifice for their sins first and the sins of their people. And they couldn't go in there flippantly into this holy place. They actually tied a rope around their foot, so if they died because there was something unholy about them in the presence of God, in this holy place where the presence of God was, if they died there, they drug him out with this rope. And see, that's the place where God, through the blood of Jesus, is inviting us to go into. This place that's holy, that's pure, that's the heart of God. The presence of God is there. And he's saying, come, child, I want you to enter in to this place where you can live, into the innermost being of my heart. I want to reveal to you my secrets and my love and my desires for you. I want to commune with you. I want to talk with you. I want to share with you some secrets that nobody else can tell you. And he is inviting us into the holy place because Jesus shed his blood for me and you. And it opened up this holy place. It says, therefore, brethren, have boldness to enter in this holy place by the blood of Jesus. You know, that's confidence. Boldness to enter in to this place where the Old Testament priests, they dare not enter in. I mean, they had a rope tied around their leg, you know, in case they was flipping about it. They would die and they'd be drug out and they was fearful and shaken. And now there's such a thing in the blood of Jesus, such a perfect sacrifice that we through that blood can boldly enter into the throne room of God, right in the very presence of God, not of our own righteousness. Oh, how in the world could we dare think that? But through the righteousness, through the perfect Lamb, the sacrifice of Christ, the one that had no sin at all, and we through that blood shed for us can enter right into that holy place. And we can do it boldly. You know, when my kids come over, they don't even knock on the door. They just walk right in. They just know that they're welcome there. They don't ask, hey, can I have a pop or a soda? They just open the fridge and get it because they know that I'm their dad and Sharon's their mom, and they have boldness and confidence to enter in right into the very, our presence, whatever that is. But you know why? Because they know we accept them. They're not afraid of us. We're not going to say, hey, get out of here, come back in and knock properly. You know, they can boldly come in because they know they're accepted in our home. We love them without reservations, without, our love's unconditional. How much more does the Father accept us in the beloved, in the precious blood of Jesus? Have a boldness, therefore. Have confidence to enter in. We don't have to. You know, I think so many times we're more worried about our failures and our weaknesses and our bad mistakes. And we all sin. Repent. Get up. Have boldness to enter in the precious blood. Have boldness to enter in through the precious blood to the holy place and have communion with the Father. Amen? That's where he's inviting us today. All because this one we call Jesus, the Messiah, died on the cross for you and I. And then it says, through a new and living way. You know, when it's a new and living way, and it, well, I want to read it. By a new and living way which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh. You know, I don't know. I'm not a theologian, so you guys can correct me after the service. Just do it quietly. But this veil was like 6 inches thick. And when Jesus died on the cross, it said the veil was rent from top to bottom. It's just like it was ripped. And there's strong people that can rip a telephone book. But I don't know any man that could have ripped an embroidery tapestry, whatever you call it, 6 inches thick of layers and layers of material. Just, it was ripped, rent from top to bottom. I think that veil represented flesh, that we were separated from God by our sins. You know, when Adam and Eve sinned, it says they hid themselves. It's like suddenly sin hid themselves from that holy place, that communion with their Father, and they were hidden. It also says in Hebrews, the hope that we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters the presence behind the veil. I guess that wasn't the one I wanted. But in Ephesians, it talked about the enmity that was between us and the Father. It talks about the law, the commandments that were between us and Father. You know, we could never keep the law perfectly. You said it, Robin. We could never do enough to earn our salvation. The law was put in place, do this, don't do that, do this. And it proved that none of us could live a perfect life good enough to stand before our Father. And Jesus, through his sacrifice, through his flesh, through his beaten body, rent that veil, it says, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh. His flesh, he did for us what we could never do. We would always be separated from the Father. Our flesh could never, ever perform good enough to enter into the presence of God. There was always something. Even the Adamic nature that was passed down from Adam from generation to generation had to be dealt with. Jesus dealt with it. He's the last Adam. There is no more Adam nature for us that are in Christ. It's a new day. Amen. We now, through his broken body and his shed blood, have access. There is no veil anymore, beloved. We don't have to stand in the outer court. We don't have to wring our hands whenever we fail, whenever we mess up, whenever we do something wrong. We just say, God, forgive me. I remember Jesus and what he did. You know, it talks about there that us draw near with full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. I think it's talking about where all of our past is constantly just bringing up. The devil's an accuser. He wants to accuse you day and night and say you're no good, you messed up. Hey, you remember? You remember? You remember all right. But see, Jesus, his sacrifice is so good, so perfect, so wonderful, so complete. He perfected me. And now I can go right into the holiest of all. The holiest of all, into the presence of God with full assurance of faith. Knowing that I'm accepted in the Beloved. The Bible says he that sanctifies and those who are sanctified are both from one or of one. We have the same Father. He's not ashamed to call us brothers. Amen? What a wonderful thing. That Jesus is my brother. That means my Father and his Father. We have the same Father. We're accepted in Christ. Our Father accepts us. And then it says we have a great high priest. I like to think about this, that Jesus, my great high priest, is interceding for me. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. That word there, he sat down at the right hand. That word set means kathizod in the Greek, and it means that he sat down in a place of authority to reign and rule. And Jesus sat there with this authority. All authority has been given unto me in heaven and earth, he said. And he sat there in authority over everything in heaven and in earth as my high priest. You think there's something that can come at you that will shock God that he can't handle? No, he's my great high priest. He's ever living to make intercession for me. The Holy Spirit's praying for me. This great high priest is praying for you. He's our mediator. It's a new and living way. I don't have to tread the same dead path, offering sacrifice after sacrifice, doing certain things for certain seasons or whatever. Now it's a new and living way. I have a great high priest. You have a great high priest. He's mediating this new covenant, this better covenant, this with better promises. He's mediating that over us constantly, continually offering it to the Father on our behalf. He's my advocate. He's my lawyer. You know, it wasn't too long after I became a Christian. And now it's been long enough. I forget whether it was a vision or a dream, but it was vivid. Whatever it was, I remember it to this day. And I was, you know, it talks about in the Bible where we also stand before for our Father and give account for the things we do. And I remember it was my turn to walk before the Father. And I saw the throne. But it didn't have form. I just knew it was a throne, and it was so brilliant white that I couldn't even see a form on it. But I knew God was there, and I was walking up before the throne. And I knew I was a Christian. I knew I was saved. But you know what I was saying as I walked up there? I was just saying, the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus. See, that's our only hope. That's our only hope. That's our righteousness. That's our access. That's our acceptance. That's our joy. Everything is in the blood of Christ. That's why we observe this day. But let's observe it with the thought of the benefit and the things that result from Jesus' sacrifice. Amen? He's our great high priest, the perfect sacrifice. With his own blood, he obtained our eternal salvation. I am secure in Christ. Amen? I am secure. We are secure in Christ. If I had a better voice, I'd sing that song to you. Tom? Yeah. But as we look at the cross of Christ today, as we observe what Jesus did for us, the price he paid, the awful pain, the suffering he went through, let us come to a greater faith of what we have. And let's don't let our feebleness, our weakness, our doubt, or whatever it might be, hold us back from going into what God has for us. There's more. No man has ever, or no woman, no one has ever came to the end of what God has for them. There's always more. Enoch maybe came close. And God says, oh, Enoch, I can't take you any farther than this flesh. Come on up higher. I want to work with you some more up here. I don't know. But I'm just saying, there's more for you. God has more. He wants to, I just see him wanting to whisper in our ears his secrets. You know, it's not so we can blab them to someone else's secrets, what's between you and I, you know, or between somebody else. It's a secret. We keep it hidden in us. But God wants to communicate those secrets to us. Things that he loves to communicate with us. And we have access to his heart through the blood of Jesus. So let's keep pressing into the fullness of what God has for us. And as this, we sing this last song, Amazing Grace, that's what it is. It's amazing grace. It's all by grace. Amen. God bless you. Thanks.
Let's stand again, and it's 429. What more appropriate hymn can we sing after that? Amazing Grace, 429. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Blind, but now I see.
saved thus far, and grace will lead me home. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the to sing God's praise than when we first began.
Let's sing praise God, praise God, praise God. We do praise you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
You're worthy of praise, Lord. Praise.
Let us bow our heads for prayer. O God, in mystery and silence, you are present in our lives, bringing new life out of destruction, hope out of despair, growth out of difficulty. We thank you that you do not leave us alone to face life, but you are at our side. Even as you lead us, you lead us, you are behind us, encouraging us, you are at our side, supporting us. Help us to sense your presence in the unfolding of our lives, and to attend to the gentle guidance of your Spirit, that we may know the peace and love you alone give us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And now, may Jesus Christ, who for our sake became obedient even death on a cross, keep you and strengthen you now and forever. Go in love, go in peace, serving God who loves you.
Thanks to Kalp Pharmacy and Cooper Farms for sponsoring the Fort Recovery Ministerial Association's Community Good Friday service, which was broadcast live on WPGW Radio.